Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Caroline Kennedy, daughter of JFK and Jacqueline, sister of John Jr., niece of Bobby Kennedy, niece of Senator Ted Kennedy, has spent most of her life improbably avoiding the limelight. Now, at 51, she's put her hand up for the Senate seat of Hillary Clinton. At the intersection of politics, history, and political lore, she instantly has the country's attention for and against. This hour on Point, Caroline Kennedy reaches for the Senate. You can join the conversation. What's your response to Caroline Kennedy's reach for a Senate seat? Are you excited? Put off? Is this Camelot 2? Just desserts? Sign of a fresh start? Or too much dynasty? Joining me first today from New York is Ben Smith, senior political reporter and blogger for Politico. Ben, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
What's the word at this point? She's been publicly out there hoping, asking New York Governor David Paterson to send it her way for some days now. How's it look for Caroline Kennedy?
You know, at this point, Patterson's just kind of hanging her out there. He says he's too busy with the state budget to be bothered with this appointment right now. Hillary Clinton is, in fact, still holding her seat in the Senate and will until at least Inauguration Day, January 20th, and possibly, you know, quite plausibly longer than that. So he's in no hurry, and you get the sense that the sort of Carolyn balloon is sort of precariously floating out there. And the longer it floats out there, the more precarious it is.
Hanging her out there. Let's listen to a little sound from the last week. Here's Caroline Kennedy in Harlem last Thursday describing what kind of Democrat she'd be as a U.S. senator.
I feel like I'm a Kennedy Democrat, a Clinton Democrat, Chuck Schumer, Barack Obama. I mean, these are all leaders whose values I share.
Last Tuesday on NBC's Today Show, Carrie Kennedy, daughter of Bobby and Ethel, stood up for her cousin Caroline Kennedy, saying she only had the goal of public service in mind when deciding to reach for the New York Senate seat. Carrie Kennedy is the ex-wife of Andrew M. Cuomo, the state's attorney general, also a contender for that Senate seat.
She's somebody who doesn't care about publicity and doesn't care about power and doesn't care about money, really only is there for public service, and that's a tremendous service to our country and to our state.
And here this past Sunday, several talk shows devoted time to the Caroline Kennedy question on CBS's Face the Nation. Geraldine Ferraro, former VP candidate, New York State Democratic stalwart, complained that New York has experienced many women politicians who already know Washington well. Has many experienced women who know it well, and, as she put it, can hit the ground running.
We need somebody down there for the good of the state who knows the process, who doesn't have to get down there and learn the process, who can get down there and hit the ground running, just like President-elect Obama will do. It is not about an individual. And I personally think that this whole campaign that has been going on in the last week or so is almost very, very difficult.
Okay, so while you're not...
In case you missed it, Bob Schieffer there talking over Geraldine Ferraro. She's calling the Caroline Kennedy campaign almost offensive. Ben Smith with Politico, what are the dynamics around this? How much weight does the name itself, the huge family legacy, carry with Governor Paterson? What else is he considering, do you imagine, as he looks at Caroline Kennedy's reach here?
Well, you know, she has not just the name, but also this sort of very intense backing from a handful of kind of elites, from people around Mayor Bloomberg, from Harry Reid in the Senate. She's not a public figure in New York. Nobody, she rides the subway because nobody knows who she is.
Though she's lived in Manhattan for a long, long time, raised her family
there. Well, I know, say they run into her on the subway sometimes, and she is such a private figure that she can ride the subway, and nobody knows who she is. There has not been like a groundswell of support. I just saw there was an online petition for her that had garnered something like 240 signatures in 3 weeks. But there's the attraction of the name. Really, I think more important is that she provided this really crucial endorsement to Barack Obama, and there's a sense that New York, a state that, you know, that might not be in his good graces, having supported Hillary Clinton, would then have this senator with really direct access to the president, which could be a really powerful thing.
How has she done in her first full week and some in the limelight, Ben?
Well, she's mostly, you know, avoided the limelight. She had a couple of press avails. I was at one on up in Harlem with Al Sharpton last week, where she kept having to be reminded to look at the camera, which was, and seems, you know, we didn't, you know, shoot herself in the foot, but she hasn't given an interview or anything like that. She finally answered some written questions we had submitted to her with fairly kind of vague statements about her policy stances, and that's as far as it's gone.
What has her life been like? She's avoided public exposure quite assiduously for most of this time. For most Americans, she's been out of sight. What's she been doing with most of her life?
It's kind of unclear what a day in the life of Carolyn Kennedy is. I mean, she has a law degree but has never practiced. I think she worked very briefly at the Met, married a very wealthy guy whose sort of career is in art. She briefly had a position an unpaid sort of job at the New York City Board of Education, theoretically fundraising for it, that where she came in, you know, a day or two a week.
But they raised a lot of money there, private money to help support the public school system.
Right, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But she hasn't, I mean, she really hasn't been, it's not, you know, there's been a lot of education kind of battles here in New York, policy battles, and she wasn't really kind of in on those at all.
Geraldine Ferraro sounding ambivalent, I guess, there. Any surprises in who's come out for and against Caroline Kennedy so far?
The main surprise is who has not come out for. You know, she came out, she did this tour of the state, she met with these mayors, and I think there was some hope from the people who were backing her that this would produce a series of endorsements. You know, that these mayors would say, wow, I'm dazzled. You know, the mayor of Syracuse would endorse her, and instead these mayors came out of these meetings and said, you know, seemed like a nice lady, nice of her to come by. But that was about it. So I think most people are still on the sidelines. One member of Congress endorsed her, a couple others have come out against her. You know, Harry Reid came out in support of her. Bloomberg and Sharpton have said nice things about her. But basically, people are waiting on the sidelines. And of course, you know, every other professional politician in New York kind of resents that she's, you know, kind of coming out of nowhere to take this plum.
If it weren't her, who seemed like the big contenders?
Andrew Cuomo is sort of the most prominent statewide official. He, you know, well-known for his name, but also has been, you know, in various kind of public office for a long time, currently the Attorney General.
He who were formerly sort of married into the Kennedy family and then divorced out of it.
Yes, yeah, so his mm-hmm. ex-wife, I think she said at one point that one of her kids said to her mom, this is awkward, so she's supporting her sister, not her ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you know, almost everybody involved here is the child of some clan. David Patterson, the governor, father was the lieutenant governor and mm-hmm. gave him his first job in politics. Various of the other contenders are children of important people as well.
And what's the calendar look like? When is Patterson, when does he have to decide? What's the deadline and what's the likely timetable that people imagine?
You know, I think a lot of people thought he would have it worked out before Christmas, and that doesn't seem likely now. He has it until Hillary vacates her seat. I mean, that's presumably when there really becomes a need to fill it. And so that would not be before the inauguration on January 20th.
So the days go by and no decision yet. And as you say, Caroline Kennedy, at this point, hanging out there a little bit. Nobody knows. Ben Smith with Politico, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Tom.
Let's listen back to that Monday, tragic for the nation and certainly for one young girl named Caroline, November 25th, 1963. Caroline Kennedy, not quite 6 years old, was at the eye of a globally televised event, the state funeral of JFK, her slain father.
To the gravesite comes death's great retinue of those who shared his life. Wife and family, cardinal, emperor, president, general, friend and rival, mourners all.
Mourners all at the funeral of assassinated American President John F. Kennedy, including, of course, his daughter, Caroline. Carl Cannon joins us from Washington, Washington Bureau Chief for Reader's Digest and a contributing editor for the National Journal, co-author of Reagan's Disciples and Boy Genius. Carl, thanks very much for being here.
Anytime, Tom.
How are you looking out on Caroline Kennedy standing up now at 51 to say, I'm ready, I'm excited by Barack Obama, I'm ready to dive in here? What's your response been, Carl?
Well, Tom, that clip you played of the funeral of Kennedy reminded me of the scene in William Manchester's book, The Death of a President, where she's in the back seat and she hears a snippet on the radio. She's actually going to a friend's house in Bethesda for a sleepover.
This is 3 days before that funeral, the day of the assassination.
November 22nd, and she hears, you know, shot in Dallas, just a snippet of it. And she's a very bright little girl, and she hears it, and she just shuts down. And I don't mean to be too artistic, because she's had a full life since then, but in a way, her voice was lost to us since, you know, from that point forward as a public person, really until the Barack Obama campaign. And Obama helps her find her voice again. It's kind of touching if you think about it that way. Whether she should be the senator from New York is a more complicated question. But this candidacy of Obama's reminded of her father's, and the promise of it reminded her of Camelot. And in the meantime, you know, her mom has died and her brother is killed prematurely. And she's sort of the last, she's literally the last of this family of four. And she's raised her hand and said, all right, I want to be in the family business now. And if you look at it that way, it's poignant.
A brother who you report in conversations with yourself before his death in a plane crash had hinted, indicated that he himself might have an eye on that seat, John Jr.
Well, there were people around him. You know, it was the old Moynihan seat. And there were people hinting to him that he should get in there because there were going to be some powerful people, including Hillary Clinton, might looking at it. This is 99.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, and we talked, and I got the impression that he was actually thinking of it. There were people around him who thought he wasn't, who were closer to him than I was. Mm-hmm. But I talked to him about it twice, and I thought he was thinking of it. And he didn't seem particularly worried if Hillary Clinton was running. That I think he might have relished the challenge. So I think he was looking at it, but we'll never know. But he was this crown prince, you know, and he dies. You remember him, Tom. He's very handsome. And
absolutely. You know. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Caroline Kennedy reaching for the U.S. Senate, daughter of JFK, slain president. Here's John F. Kennedy at his inaugural address in Washington, January 20th, 1961, a very young daughter there, announcing the arrival, he said, of a new American generation in American politics.
Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage, and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed and to which we are committed today at home and around the world.
JFK, 1961, at his inauguration. Here's the daughter, Caroline Kennedy, last Wednesday as she launched a tour of upstate New York cities to meet with politicians and power brokers.
I just wanted to say that, as some of you may have heard, I've told Governor Patterson that I'd be honored to be considered for the position of United States Senator. I wanted to come upstate and meet with Mayor Driscoll and others to tell them about my experience and also to learn more about how Washington can help.
But you've never held public office, so what experience?
There's a lot of good people in this candidates that the governor's considering. He's laid out a process. And I'm proud to be in that process.
Caroline Kennedy last Wednesday. Carl Cannon is with us. We'll have more voices in just a moment. Carl Cannon with the National Journal and Reader's Digest. Carl, in a recent post, you bring up, there's so much mythology around this family and its politics. Mythology is sort of so mythologized, it got you in the mind of thinking of Star Wars, no less.
Well, that was on my blog, Loose Cannon, and I guess it was a little bit loose cannon-ish that day, but yeah, I invoked Princess Leia from Star Wars, and I was thinking of John F. Kennedy Jr. in the scene where Yoda and Obi-Wan are talking, and they're worried about young Luke, who is getting actually to go off in a spacecraft, a plane, and mm-hmm. John Kennedy was killed in a plane, and they were worried about him. He was so brash, and they said, that boy is our only hope, and Yoda said, no, there is another. And the other, of course, is his sister, who nobody thinks of. And I've got a lot of comments, you know, people, some of them are Star Wars fanatics, and they said, no, Princess Leia was already in the Galactic Senate. Well, that wasn't my point, of course. My point is that, you know, and somebody else wrote kind of an ugly post. I actually took it down, you know, somebody shot my dad, you know, where's my Senate seat? Well, you know, if there's somebody out there and your father was president and you were days away from your sixth birthday and your father was killed and your brother was also killed, you know, email me and we'll throw your name in the hat. But the point is, this is a singular situation.
I should say, and Caroline Kennedy, not out of the limelight. Now, Carl, please stand by there in Washington. We're joined also now from New York by Lawrence Lamer, best known for his trilogy of books on the Kennedy clan, The Kennedy Women, The Kennedy Men, and Sons of Camelot. He's also author of the forthcoming Madness Under the Royal Palms, Love and Death Behind the Gates of Palm Beach. Lawrence Lamer, thanks very much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
And from New York, we're joined by Katha Pollitt. She's a columnist for The Nation. Her column is Subject to Debate, won the National Magazine Award for Columns and Commentary, author of Learning to Drive and Virginity or Death. Katha Pollitt, welcome back to One Point. Good to have you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Lawrence, let's go first to you. What do you make of Caroline stepping up in such a big and public way now, putting her hand up for the seat? Does it look justified to you? Does it look inevitable to you? How do you see it?
Well, those two audios you played of JFK's brilliant, immortal inaugural speech and her kind of emotionalist, you know, comments to the press strike me as very, very sad. But you have to look back on the history of the Kennedys and see that Caroline was always in the shadow of her younger brother John, who was incredibly movie star handsome when she was attractive, who had this charisma that everyone noticed when she had none of that. And John wanted to be the senator from New York. He took private polls. He was ready to go. And then Hillary came in, and he backed away because he was too much of a gentleman, and he didn't have the fire in his belly. He, in 1988, when Patrick Kennedy was 20 and was going to a student in Providence, Rhode Island, wanted to run for the state legislature. And his father, instead of telling him, you shouldn't do this, you better do something worthwhile with your life before you do that, he went ahead against a man, Frank Skeffington, who was the incumbent and a good politician. And on election day, there were Kennedys at every polling place with the photographer, with a Polaroid camera, which would take their picture and sign their autographs. And John was at one of these places. Polling places. And when Skeffington, an incumbent, came up, John took him to the side and said, I don't feel good about this. This isn't the way to do this. This is totally wrong. And John thought it was totally wrong. And he really learned. And when he was editor, George, that was to prepare himself. So if he had lived, he would want this seat. And he would, I think, be ready for this seat. Caroline takes the most noble thing in the Kennedy heritage, which all of us would do. If our father had been assassinated, we would remember. Camelot may be dead for most of us, but it's not dead for her. That's what she remembers, and she comes into this. But what she lacks is that fire in her belly. You can inherit money, you can inherit position, you can inherit class, but you can't inherit that fire in your belly.
Are you sure she lacks it? She stood up publicly now, broken with the pattern of a lifetime, and stepped right into the spotlight here. There's some fire right there.
No, you know, yes. Immediately, I wrote a blog, The Huffington Post, several weeks ago, when before she really announced it, and I said the Kennedys do everything with great shrewdness and calculation, and she wants this. But she was doing it in a way that if she didn't get it, she could say, gee, I was never interested. Patterson's people made it very clear that she wasn't going to get this, so she took the next step. If she really wants this, she would have to take the ultimate step and say, I want this. Fine. If Governor Patterson names me, great. If he doesn't, I'm going in 2010 in the primary, whatever. That's what she would have to do. But I think the fact that she isn't going to give her financial records, the fact that she doesn't take questions, she has 3 or 4 days to totally step up to the plate or it's all over. And I hope she steps up to the plate, but I'm not sure if she's capable of doing that.
Katha Pollitt, let me get one call from the turf she'd like to represent. We'll come straight to you. Larry in Ogdensburg, New York. You're on the air. What do you think, Kit Larry?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Well, I'm really excited. We're in a part of the state that doesn't get much attention, up in way up in northern New York, about an hour from Ottawa. And there's been a lot of talk about upstate versus downstate and everything, and will she represent us? And well, Hillary didn't know anything about Ogdensburg when she first started either, but she found out that even though this was a very conservative area, that there were a lot of votes up here for her, and I think the same will happen with Carolyn.
So you're saying thumbs up for Caroline. Bring her on.
Right. And, you know, when you look at the other people, with the exception of maybe Andrew Cuomo, there aren't a lot of people with a lot of experience. And, you know, we had D'Amato in there, and what experience did he have? And, you know, it's going to take somebody that can have a lot of name recognition and raise a lot of money, because the Republicans are really going to want this seat back, and she's got to run in 2010 and again in 2012. That's going to take a lot of money, and to get that kind of money, people have to know who you are.
And there's a vote that says you're ready to get to know Caroline Kennedy. Everybody knows the family already. Larry, thanks for that. Katha Pollitt, I'm looking at a brand new poll here. Quinnipiac poll says 33% of voters want Patterson to pick Kennedy. She leads all others at the moment, just ahead of Andrew Cuomo at 29% of those polled. What do you make of Caroline Kennedy and her reach for the Senate seat, Katha?
Well, I'm not keen on it, actually. I think I agree with most of the things that have been said against it. And I think they're powerful in combination, that each one, you know, it's a dynasty thing, it's a rich person swanning in, she doesn't have a lot of experience or any experience. Each of those things you could kind of get over. But if when you put them all together, you just sort of think, well, why? Is it because she has a lot of money and she's rich and she has name recognition? Is it because we feel sorry about, you know, the assassination of her father? I find it offensive that someone would come in and say, well, yeah, okay, I'm 51 years old. I've never been the least bit interested in holding public office before, but I'd like to be one of the 152 most powerful people in the country, if you count, you know, the senators, the president, and the governors. So, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And then she has not really made an assertive move to put herself in front of the voters. I mean, she's taken 15 questions. She's said, yeah, I'd like to know more about that state. I mean, Hillary Clinton really, people said the same about her. They said, okay, what experience does she have? But Hillary Clinton ran a campaign. Hillary Clinton did educate herself about upstate, and Hillary Clinton won an election. And I would be fine with Caroline Kennedy if she ran for the office and won.
Katha, what about the argument that Caroline, in a sense, ran in that she dived in early and hard for Barack Obama, put the Kennedy stamp, the Camelot stamp, on him, along with her uncle, Senator Ted Kennedy, and in effect, the argument's been made, in effect, she got a kind of endorsement in Obama's victory.
No, she got she endorsed him,
mm-hmm.
And I think what the usual political reward for that is an ambassadorship. It's not an elective office in one of the most important states in the country. As a New Yorker, what I want is someone who has that fire in the belly we've been talking about, someone who's going to fight for the state, someone who's going to fight for women's rights. I mean, Caroline Kennedy's cousin did not know whether she was pro-choice. She said, well, we've never talked about it. That's kind
she
of
didn't
amazing.
Know if Caroline was.
All the time they spend together and what women tend to talk about when they're together. And I'm glad to know that she is pro-choice. But to me, I don't have any sense of, like, where her priorities would be. Will she be good at this? People say she's shy. Do we want a shy senator? Does that make sense to you? A shy senator, a senator who just hasn't been interested in this at all up until now, who's basically, who's never practiced, who has a, I mean, to me, she looks like a very...
Let's get a call from Manchester, Senator of Vermont, and Susan. Sorry, Kathy, you were breaking up on us there. Susan, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. First, I want to make one comment. Mm. Why are all of these people, especially this last woman...
That would be Katha Pollitt of The Nation. From New York.
Mm-hmm. I don't care who she is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Very cynical. And most women that I know, educated, bright, attractive, well-read, would never have voted for Hillary Clinton anyway. We're ready for a change. So she's soft-spoken.
But surely a lot of women right? did vote for Hillary Clinton in New York State and beyond.
I have no relationship to them. I have nothing to say to those people that voted for Hillary Clinton. I'm just saying, as an ex-New Yorker, I live in Vermont right now, okay, why not endorse her just a little bit?
What's the case you would make for Caroline then, Susan?
Okay. she is finding her voice. I was 7 years old when her father died, okay? So I went through the whole Kennedy thing. And yes, they were privileged, and yes, it was Camelot, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I believe she does have that fire in her belly. See, I believe that she will raise her voice. And I truly believe that she will fight for health care and education. I really believe that. But if everyone is looking for a woman like Hillary Clinton to get up there, you know, just, oh, knock them dead, and, you know, the Geraldine Ferraros of the world who don't interest me at all, you know, give her a shot. Maybe she won't win.
Susan, we hear it. A New Yorker in Vermont saying, you go, Caroline, and thanks very much for that call, Susan. Carl Cannon, I'm looking here. Ellen Goodman in the Boston Globe, columnist across the country, writes there, pick Caroline and you are not choosing the latest scion of a dynasty. You are choosing the emblem of a generation, maybe a country coming back to life, public life. And Ellen's all for it. Do you feel that stirring here, or are you worried about the reserved Caroline, Carl?
Well, Katha said, you know, do we want a shy senator? Well, She's in New York. She knows a lot more about New York than I do. But I'm here in Washington. Frankly, you have 99 egomaniacs and one shy senator. That kind of appeals to me, actually. But I was thinking, you know, Tip O'Neill, great Boston politician, said that all politics is local. And I think, you know, these upstaters call and they say, you know, we want someone who knows upstate or cares about upstate New York. But really, the corollary is in the 21st century that all politics is national, Tom. And, you know, non-New Yorkers feel that they have a say in this. And why shouldn't they? Bobby Kennedy used his New York Senate seat, you know, as a stepping stone to his presidential run. And Hillary Clinton did the same thing. And, in fact, this seat's vacant because Hillary Clinton is going to go be Secretary of State, you know, the Obama face to the world. And so the idea that non-New Yorkers are calling, I think, is kind of interesting. And I think some of us who don't live in New York probably have, we have a vested interest.
Lawrence Lamer, how about it? Do you feel across the country a vested interest in Caroline's candidacy? I mean, does that make sense to you at this point? It's a long time since 1963, and she hasn't been that much in the national eye, but certainly her family has.
Well, I think what Susan from Vermont, I thought she made a terrific point there, and I'm not cynical about it at all. I'm tired of professional politicians, and if she's shy, I mean, can't shy people be part of our democracy and part of politics as well? That's not my problem. The fact that she's written two fine books, that she's brought up kids, that she's worked, I mean, that's not the problem. The problem is, can she really go for it now? And again, it's just a matter of a few days, but I think it would be terrific if, I mean, I was in the Peace Corps. Maybe that's another reason. I think it would be excellent. It would be part of the new light of politics that we think Obama is going to bring us. But can she rise to the occasion? That's the question. If she has the fire in her belly, all power to her.
Katha, do you feel none of that quickening that Ellen Goodman feels there, that sort of quickening of public spirit emblematic in Caroline Kennedy?
I'm not sure I understand the question, but I've asked a lot of people here in New York, and people, you know, I think women in particular, at least the women that I know and have asked, find it a little bit insulting that we have a very fine congresswoman here, Carolyn Maloney, mm-hmm. Whose name has not even been mentioned. Why not her? I mean, I think it would be great if the seat went to a woman because there are so few women in the Senate, and Hillary Clinton, you know, her promotion, her going to Senate, sorry, to state will mean there's one less. But I think it should go to somebody who's has a little bit proven her mettle and has chosen to do public service, has shown she can win an election. None of this is, to me, put it, Carolyn Kennedy, all this stuff, it's like People Magazine. It's like, you might as well have Angelina Jolie be the senator. I mean, she's very humanitarian, you know, she's known worldwide, she'd be a senator for the whole country. I mean, this is very serious matters of public service, and it's not, you know, to say, oh, we'd like to have a shy senator. Well, have a shy senator in your state, you know?
Katha Pollitt, in New York, you're tough. Stand by. Lawrence Lamer, we're so glad you're with us, and Carl Cannon as well. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Caroline Kennedy reaching for the U.S. Senate. Carl Cannon is with us with the National Journal and Reader's Digest. Katha Pollitt is here from The Nation, joins us from New York. Lawrence Lamer from New York as well, well-known for a trilogy of books on the Kennedy clan, the Kennedy women, the Kennedy men, and Sons of Camelot. Many Americans knew her. Well, there she was in the White House, playing in the Oval Office, and then funeral. Anybody in this country old enough to remember the assassination of JFK remembers the images of the two little children, Caroline and John John, standing in the cold, following their father's body to Arlington Cemetery.
Behind the caisson, the line of glistening limousines stretches 3 miles through soundless throngs. Dark against the classic white block of the Lincoln Memorial, the procession crosses the Potomac into Arlington.
That was then. And, of course, there was more to come. Bobby Kennedy's assassination, Teddy Kennedy in the Senate. On the second to last day of the bitterly contested 1980 Democratic National Convention, candidate Ted Kennedy conceded to Jimmy Carter, delivering a memorable speech, some say the finest of his career, in which he made a stirring call for a more progressive Democratic Party.
For all those whose cares have been our concern, the work goes on, the cause endures, the hope still lives, and the dream shall never die.
The dream shall never die, said Teddy there. And now, Caroline Kennedy, with her hand up for that Senate seat and the New York governor, well, pausing over the decision. Let's go to Brewster, New York, and Tom. Tom, you're on the air. What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, I admire the Kennedys' public service record, and I remember all their sacrifice. But, I mean, I think New York is ill-served by getting an inexperienced politician in a time of absolute critical economic crisis for the city and the state. I mean, we need someone who's an insider, someone who can deliver for the people of New York and the governor critical infrastructure projects and correct economic policy, because that's what's going to rescue us.
Who would you put in that chair, in that seat?
Well, I mean, I put someone like Nadler, who's a political animal, experienced political operator, a policy guru. But, you know, I'm not married to anybody, but I would put someone who already is down there, who knows where the bodies are buried, knows who to call. Who knows how to make the political sandwiches.
So there's a vote for experience. Let's get a call from Groton, Connecticut. Thanks, Tom. Hello, Don. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Let me say that speaking as a libertarian burdened with pretty strenuous and discriminatory ballot access laws, I really have a special animus against people who have the inside track. And that's what I see in the Kennedys. Celebrities... I live close enough to Rhode Island and Massachusetts to catch the extra head start coverage they get in the media when they run for office. They're like America's royal family, and I'm enough of an American to resent royalty.
You know, I totally get that, Don. What American wouldn't? On the other hand, I mean, look around. You got, you know, Al Franken's out in Minnesota talk about celebrity. You got Jim Bunning, Hall of Fame pitcher. You got money maids who have been in there. Rockefeller, Maria Cantwell of Washington. What, Herb Kohl, Milwaukee Bucks, former senator, now Governor Corzine, who went from Goldman Sachs to the Senate. And then you've got, you know, Teddy and Dodd and Robert Bennett of Utah. His dad had the seat, and Arnold, and, you know, right on. The Kennedys are hardly the only or the first in this category.
Well, they are hardly the only ones, but I do think of them as the Lamborghinis of Head Start, the Head Start crowd.
Well, that's a phrase and a half. Thank you, Don. Carl Cannon, the Lamborghinis of the unfair Head Start crowd?
Well, this is the best argument against Caroline Kennedy, Tom. You know, we've had dynasties from the beginning. John Adams, and I guess that'd be the first one, and his son John Quincy Adams. Today, Abigail, who is as able as the two of them, would have been the third. And, you know, on through the years, you mentioned some of them, but there's, you know, Hubert Humphreys and Adlai Stevenson, three generations of them. They're Udalls now in Congress from three different states. You know, it never seems to end. And that does seem sort of un-American. It's not in the sense of the Horatio Alger view of America, but it's also quintessentially American. We're talking about the Adams. That's 1800. You know, I'm from California originally, and we have a sort of a, this guy's a libertarian. We have a small L libertarian view of that eventually the dynasties will peter out in time when they should, when the talent's no good. Mm. You know, Franklin Eleanor Roosevelt had five kids, and James ran for governor of California. He lost. He served a couple of terms in the House. Elliot was mayor of Miami Beach. Franklin Jr., he was in the House, too. He was close to JFK, in fact. And John, their fourth son, became a Republican, supported Ike. And, you know, nobody talks about the Roosevelt dynasty anymore. So these things peter out when the talent peters out. And that's the laissez-faire view of it. Nobody likes privilege, you know.
Katha Pollitt, you know, a lot of people in Massachusetts will remember all the way back in 1962 when Teddy Kennedy first ran for the Senate, very young then, ran against the former Attorney General, Ed McCormick here, who said to him famously, "Teddy, if your name was Edward Moore instead of Edward Moore Kennedy, your candidacy would be a farce." All these years later, he's got the sobriquet Lion of the Senate. Many people on both sides of the aisle, they may not like his politics all, but many see him as a very effective senator. Does that mean something to you, Katha?
Well, the point is about all these dynasties is that all the people that have been mentioned so far put themselves before the voters. If voters want to elect another member of a political family, that's their decision. That's democracy. But to come in as a legacy and be given a Senate seat at the age of 51, having done nothing of an electoral nature before, I find quite disturbing. And I kind of just don't understand why other people don't find it disturbing, too, when there's a lot of political talent in New York. There are a lot of people who have shown what they can do. And Carolyn Kennedy has not. And I think, you know, the idea that, well, okay, the seat will be safe with her. Why do we think that? Why do we think, I mean, picture her running against, oh, I don't know, Giuliani, someone, you know, some tough Republican. Mm-hmm. Are we sure that she's going to be able to, you know, hold her own? Yesterday there was a piece in the New York Times saying that she has declined to make her financial records public until she's offered the seat, you know. Now, to me, that's part of that entitled attitude, that she's not doing the things that would say, okay, I know I'm coming in at the top, but I'm going to do, you know, I'm playing for real. I'm going to follow the rules like everybody else does. And most politicians do make their financial records public. So I think she's not making the kinds of I don't want to say gestures, but she's not doing the kinds of things that would make me see her as a real politician, as opposed to a charming and delightful person who decides she'd like to give this a try.
Let's hear from Sharon in Savannah, Georgia. Sharon, what do you say?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
First off, I think that the New York Senate seat does affect everyone in the nation, including us here in Georgia. And Caroline Kennedy, while she may be called shy, I think a better term for her is reserved. She has chosen not to put her family in the limelight for the majority of her life. I think she does need to be given a chance. She has that good name recognition. And as far as having no experience, in 3.5 weeks, we're going to have an inauguration with a new president who has relatively little experience and was elected from a Senate seat. So I don't think that, you know, you have to have all that experience. That's part of the Washington problem now, is senators who have stayed on and on and on, and we need some new breath of fresh air.
But Sharon, let me ask you, people want hammer and tongs against Governor Palin, saying she didn't have enough experience. Of course, it was a different seat. It was vice president, heartbeat from the presidency. But, I mean, that was certainly used fiercely against her candidacy with John McCain.
That is true. And I did have quite a bit of problems with Sarah Palin, as close as she was. But we are not talking about a vice president seat. We are talking about a Senate seat. And she is, you know, one of many senators. And I do believe she would be a terrific representative, but I do not believe that her financial records, I mean, need to be exposed. I mean, what is the deal? I think America is obsessed, unfortunately, with the Camelot legacy. And what difference does it matter how much money, you know, that she's made? We know that she probably has millions of dollars due to her family. And I'm not sure that, you know, why do we need to delve into that? She's agreed to, you know, express desire to run for a public seat, and I think that's wonderful. And I do think that they have the financial acumen behind them to to make that happen.
Sharon, we've got it. You're generous, and you're a thumbs-up vote there. We'll take it. Let's get one from East Hampton, New York, and Mark. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to say I'm a New York resident, and I find it very very encouraging that she would want at this time to take a stab at political office.
Why, Mark? What's encouraging about it?
Well, I like the fact that she doesn't have a lot of political experience, in the sense that what is New York State? What are the politicians that we have, you know, shown us with all their experience? I think that people need to take into account who her mother was, as well as her father, and the good things that her mother did for the city of New York, and kind of look at it in the sense of someone that's coming in with name recognition that will have a little bit of political power and good political advice behind her.
Hey, Mark, your fellow New Yorker Katha Pollitt says you need a fighter. Somebody's going to, with fire in the belly, roll their sleeves up and fight. Are you confident Caroline Kennedy Wood could do that?
I'm confident that she could do it. I think that if you look at what her mother did, as I said, you know, more than the legacy that was her father, I think look at what her mother did for New York City and the type of woman that she was, and I think people should focus more on that as far as who she is and what she's all about.
Mark, we got it. Thank you very much for your call. Let's get one from Salem, Massachusetts, and Jane. Jane, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Attorney Jane Leary Levesque. I've run for public office in Massachusetts. I happened to run for the office that my father had before he passed away, and I didn't win. It was me and seven gentlemen, and I came in second. And so when you come in second, you don't get the position. I'm very proud of Carolyn for being willing to put herself out there. It takes a lot of courage. I think she lives in New York. She's raised a family in New York. She's, I believe, the co-author of two best-selling books. She's gone to law school. I'm excited for the people of New York. I hope they get excellent representation, whoever gets chosen.
And what if you were a New Yorker and she was sort of skimming in above you when you'd run for office, Jane?
I actually think that if we don't have good people run, we're not going to have good people in there. And I think the more people that run for office, the better choices we're going to have. And I think she is one of many good choices that New York has right now.
Jane, thanks for calling. Carl Cannon, what about the politics in Washington? Senator Ted Kennedy, of course, famously and sadly battling with brain cancer right now. Does it matter in policy terms, in terms of how you count and look forward to an agenda in Obama years, if it's Caroline in that seat or somebody else, Andrew Cuomo, let's say?
Well, Teddy is fighting for his life, and that's the mm-hmm. sort of unspoken drama behind this gambit of Caroline's. I was thinking that before the election, that Caroline Kennedy would make a fine ambassador to the UN, and that Hillary Clinton would start to take her place as the Ted Kennedy of the Senate. That shows how much I know. Mm. But there doesn't have to be a Kennedy in the Senate. I mean, America will still stand. Massachusetts since 1962, there's been one seat for a Kennedy and one seat for the other half of the rest of Massachusetts. So I mean, Katha Pollitt, I don't disagree with what she's saying about that and the idea that there's an entitlement. I just think that this woman's come forward, and she's put herself forward after all this time. And to me, it was a very poignant thing. I think that New York will be well served by her or any of these people, because you're going to have a Democrat in the White House who's going to pay attention to New York. I don't really think that the roads will get made, policy will get done. But in terms of these people saying they want experience, what experience? The economy's a mess, and the very most experienced committee chairmen were routinely letting the SEC run amok and do nothing for years and years. So I think a lot of people in New York and outside New York, a fresh face, a person who's not part of this mess, they're very attracted to that.
Lawrence Lamer, what about the fire in the belly question with Caroline? She's got a reserved demeanor. Katha Pollitt thinks maybe it's even shy. Do you see, tensile strength beneath? Do you see the fire in the belly required, however it's expressed?
Well, one of the wonderful things about democracy is we're going to find this out pretty soon. Now, in terms of entitlement, let's not forget that two of her cousins ran for office. Kathleen Kennedy Townsend mm-hmm. ran for governor of Maryland. She was 15 points ahead, and she lost. At the same time, Mark Kennedy Shriver ran for the Congress from suburban Maryland. He lost in the primary to a young man who did have that fire in the belly. So we don't know yet, and that's the drama we're going to see in the next few days.
So, Katha, look at it policy-wise for a second. Do you think it matters? You're at the Nation. You've got a progressive kind of agenda. Does it help or hurt, or it's neutral, whether it's Caroline ultimately in that seat or not?
Well, I think that I would hope that whoever gets the seat would have a progressive agenda, and then it's mostly a question of who can be most effective. And I just don't see any evidence that it would be her.
So, Andrew Cuomo, fine by you, or Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney?
I would have trouble voting for Andrew. I mean, I would vote for any Democrat, of course. I'm not a fan of Andrew Cuomo for a whole bunch of reasons. I think that Carolyn Maloney would be excellent, and I think it would be great to have the seat remain with the woman.
And if Caroline gets it, what's the advice you'd whisper in her ear?
I would say be energetic. Don't act like the world owes you a living. And fight for women and fight for New York State and fight for ordinary people.
How are you handicapping it now, Katha? Do you think it's headed her way?
Well, you know, I did it first. Now it seems that, you know, Patterson is kind of letting it all hang out there a little bit. From the people who've called today, it seems like it would be a very popular choice.
Fascinating story with so much history and emotion behind it. Katha Pollitt with The Nation, thanks very much for being with us again, Katha.
Thanks so much for having me.
Lawrence Lamer, author of The Kennedy Women, The Kennedy Men, and Sons of Camelot, and the forthcoming Madness Under the Royal Palms. Lawrence, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And Carl Cannon with Reader's Digest and the National Journal. Great to have you. Thanks so much, Carl.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline. He wrote it in 1969 and 2007. He said he wrote it for Caroline Kennedy. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.